Thank you for listening to Session 5 of Integrity Selling. Its title is How to Validate Your Claims. You'll learn how to deepen your trust bond with people, validate yourself, your product or service, and your organization. And now, here's Ron.
In today's selling, confidence and trust play an important role in influencing people's buying decisions. Validation is very important. When we validate, we communicate our integrity and cause people to have confidence in us. We also prove that our product or service will answer their wants or needs. Validation helps people believe our claims and what we say. Let me emphasize that validation isn't necessarily a separate step between the demonstration and negotiation steps. In reality, it's an ongoing process. We must validate from our pre-approach on through the follow-up. The reason we put the validation step at this point in our system is that people must believe what we're saying before we can successfully negotiate and close. If they don't believe us and have confidence in us, there's no point in trying to close. We're not going to be successful. People often won't buy from you until you validate your integrity, your product or service integrity, and your company's integrity. Years ago, when I was in the retail furniture business, our largest sales volume was with upholstered sofas and chairs. Our major line of upholstered pieces was very well made and was more expensive than many other brands. We had to prove to our customers that our furniture would give them value over that of our competitors' brands. In other words, we had to validate our claims. One way we did this was to show people a sample of the type of framing wood that our sofas and chairs had. Then to prove how hard it was, we would use it as a hammer to drive a nail into another piece of wood that other companies commonly used. People were always concerned about the wearability of the fabrics. Since most of our fabrics were Scotch-guarded, we turned that feature into a customer benefit. We would explain the soil-resistant qualities, and then we'd say, "Here's what this means to you." At this point, we'd pour either black coffee or ink on a fabric sample. As we poured it on, it would bead up and roll around, and then we'd give the customers some tissues and ask them to blot up the coffee or ink from the fabric. This procedure was very strong validation and very convincing. It proved that our products would last and not show soiling. We sold lots of sofas and chairs by using these ideas to validate their quality. In the validation step, emotions usually rule more than logic. It was an emotional experience for customers to see us pour ink on beautiful white fabrics. It appealed to their emotions when we let them blot it up. Now, in thinking back, I can see how I often resisted salespeople when they had all the logic in the world on their side. I resisted them because they didn't emotionally persuade me, because I didn't want to believe them, or because my ego wouldn't allow them to win. You see, in validation, ego plays a very important role. The salesperson who is willing to subordinate his or her own ego in favor of the customers will win a large part of the time. If we view selling as forcing our wills or ideas on others, we've usually got problems. We have ego problems. Now, let's move into the four action guides that you'll practice this week. Number one is to translate product or service features into customer benefits. Two is justify price and emphasize value. Three, offer proof and evidence. Four, reassure and reinforce people to neutralize their fear of buying. The first action guide is to translate product features into customer benefits. People don't buy features, they buy benefits. Now, while we've heard this many times, still I'm amazed at the number of salespeople who don't practice it. You see, people don't buy what your product or service is. They buy what it will do for them or how it will make them look to other people. When you buy clothes, how much of your motivation is because of the fiber content of the cloth or the number of stitches per square inch? Doesn't the motivation take place when you step in front of a four-way mirror and see how you look in it? Or when you bought your last automobile, were you interested in the gauge of steel in the door panels or the exact horsepower of the engine? Or were you really motivated by the color that excited your senses or the feel of the upholstery or the enjoyment of the stereo sound or the savings in increased gas mileage? If you'll think for a moment, you'll see that one's a feature and the other's a benefit. Features are what the product or service is. Benefits are what it will do for people. the advantage that it offers them. Unfortunately, many salespeople get so enamored with the features of their products that they forget to sell the benefits to their customers. Here's a very important exercise. Take a few minutes sometime and list several features of your product or service. Then out beside each feature, list the advantages or benefits or how the features will help your customers. If you've not done this recently, this exercise is often very enlightening, and it may cause you to discover that you've been selling features instead of selling benefits. In your seminar session, you learn the six magic words. They'll help you to automatically translate features into benefits. The six magic words, of course, were, what this means to you is. The way you use them is that every time you point out a feature, say, what this means to you is, and then mention how the feature will benefit the person. If you were selling home care products, a feature might be that they are highly concentrated. Now, this is very meaningful to you, the salesperson, but to your customer, it's only words. And so you might translate it into a benefit by saying, our products are very highly concentrated, and what this means to you is that you use a smaller quantity. So your cost per usage is much smaller. Well, you get the idea. Always tell people what your features mean to them. Then add an additional benefit as a clincher. You can use the six magic words with anything you sell, whether it's ideas, services, or products. And then the second action guide to help you validate your product or service is to justify the price and emphasize the value. In order to do this, it often helps to condition your own mind to believe that the value of your product far exceeds the price. The first person you have to sell is yourself. When you're convinced of this, you'll be more powerful in communicating value to other people. There are many ways to justify price and emphasize value. It largely depends on what you're selling. Have you ever bought an article of clothing on sale that wouldn't have been your first choice if it wasn't on sale? And then you never wore it? This has happened to me several times. Was it a value? Of course it wasn't. Share a similar experience of your own with people. Ask them for their responses. Let them tell you how they learned this lesson in their own experiences. On the other hand, have you ever bought a suit or a dress that was very expensive and you felt guilty for spending so much money on it, but it lasted, lasted, and lasted, and you felt confident and self-assured in it? Was it a value? Of course it was. So frame a question like this to people you sell, so it's an example they'll identify with. Get them telling you about values that they've received. Another way to emphasize value is to break up the amount into several minor expenditures. It's only 30 cents a day for this new calculator, you might say. Or for only the price of a pack of cigarettes and a cup of coffee, you can have a savings plan that will be worth $10,800 to you in 15 years. You can emphasize value by showing the investment and the return ratio. In this regard, we should always expect price resistances. It just wouldn't be normal not to get them. So expect resistances and be prepared to deal with them. Often people state objections, but at the same time want us to reassure them that spending their money is a wise thing. Another suggestion is to bring up price objections before your customers bring them up. Doing this is much easier than handling head-on later. You can do this by anticipating objections and raising them yourself before your clients have a chance to do it. So always be validating by emphasizing value. Remember, people want value. Then the third way to validate is to offer proof and evidence. A third-party letter or endorsement is often very convincing to buyers. Testimonials increase in effectiveness, though, as people know and relate to the endorsers, or if they're in the same field or profession. Often testimonials and endorsements from unknown people will have less motivation in validating. So you should carefully tailor your proof letters and statements so that they'll be most convincing to your customers. The fourth way to validate is to reassure and reinforce people to neutralize their fear of buying. There's an interesting psychological phenomenon that often takes place while a person is deciding whether or not to buy. This phenomenon is called fear. Fear that they'll do the wrong thing. And professional salespeople understand it and always attempt to deal with it. You can deal with fear by giving reassurance, by proving that there's no risk in buying from you. Often, guarantees or warranties help. You'll validate differently with different behavior styles. Evidence given to talkers needs to be people-centered. Doers are impressed with results. Plotters want to be assured that minimal risk exists. And controllers want evidence that's fact-based and specifically documented. Consciously practicing the validation action guides and listening to this message several times will help you internalize them as automatic responses. Validation really begins with who we are, the values we have, and the integrity we demonstrate. As we make the transition from old-fashioned strategy-based manipulative selling, the need for validation increases. Chances are that you're in a business or profession that's very competitive. As business gets more competitive in order to stay in business, we must upgrade our product and service quality. We've seen this process happen in the last two decades. But now, most products or services are pretty consistent in quality. So to differentiate what you sell, you'll probably have to do more than just rely on product alone. You'll have to give something extra. More and more today, businesses are discovering the need to partner with their clients or customers. Rather than seeing themselves as vendors, they see themselves as vital contributors to their clients' success. What I'm really talking about is a whole new role image for salespeople. And it begins in our own minds, how we see ourselves. So I challenge you to form a clear image of yourself, not as a traditional salesperson, but as someone who professionally helps people enjoy end-result benefits. Whether your customers are families, individuals, or businesses, they're looking to you to help create value for them. When you see yourself in the role of a value generator and present yourself to people that way, you'll stand out above your competitors. And this is true whether you're a doctor, lawyer, or Indian chief. This positioning, then, will help you validate yourself to people. In today's marketplace, sincerity and integrity, the genuine desire to help people, powerfully motivates them to want to buy from you. It's very simple. Buyers are looking for people they can trust and have confidence in. This creates a very strong need for validation.